Hey guys, it's the Great Debates. I'm looking for a reaction kind of right away on that. I'm looking for a, we're here, we're present, we're ready to debate.
I'm here.
Present,
I'm
ready to debate.
Dave King, I'm ready to go. Healy, are you here?
Yeah, I'm ready to debate.
Sometimes people don't know who we are. It's okay to say, hey, like, introduce ourselves.
That's I'm Dave Healy. I'm the moderator.
Ready to debate.
Yeah, all right. Okay, we're ready to debate. Good.
Okay,
sorry.
We're through that. So, guys, it's Oscar time.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
We're going to see the Oscars show. They're going to crown the victor.
Miss Oscar.
It's going to be great.
Mr. and Mrs. Oscar.
I'm going to admit to you right now, I'm pretty sure I have seen none of the movies that are nominated for Oscars this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I think it's likely. We'll look at the list later, but
we'll get there.
I think it's likely. Before we do that, I'd like to introduce a micro debate topic. I'd like to put 3 minutes on the clock. I'd like to have Steve Healy take the pro.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. Here you go. The topic is the Electoral College is a better voting system than the Oscars.
I'm Steve Healy, and I'm taking the pro. A lot of people are steamed about the Electoral College right now, in particular, because Hillary Clinton got something like 3 million more popular votes than Donald Trump, who got elected. However, the founders of this country founded the Electoral College carefully. They knew that the United States was not one huge nation, it was a union of states that formed a nation. So each state would have to be represented in some fair way, and they came up with the Electoral College. The states together would vote. Each state would have a certain number of votes. That's how we ended up with the Electoral College. Is it perfect? I don't know. It could probably be improved. However, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is a private club of almost all white old men. That is a worse voting system than everybody in the country gets to vote and you get to influence which way your state votes for president. That's a better system.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah.
Well, you'd be surprised just how many old white men are voting in the general election for the presidential election as well, because everything that our Congress has been doing is efforts to disenfranchise minorities and women, people.
I agree. We should fight that tooth and nail.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with the Electoral College, by the way.
No, but it renders the Electoral College.
The Academy starts out as a private organization you have to be invited to be a member of. Is that how you think voting should work in the U.S.?
No, do you think it's a better system? I think it should be the exact. I've been on record saying that voting should be mandatory. I think it should be a civic service just as jury duty is. Mm-hmm, that's my
but
take.
But you yourself don't vote.
I have not. I have voted in the past. I have also have not voted in the past. This isn't a referendum on whether or not I should vote. But the very fact that a person like me isn't voting in the Electoral College for the general election, it should be indicative of just how ridiculous the Electoral College is.
Should be indicative of how ridiculous you are.
People are seeing because Hillary Clinton lost. That's not the only reason that people dislike the Electoral College. It's not a good system. Our country is a nation and also a collection of states. What it shouldn't be is a disproportionate a voting system wherein some states have a disproportionate voice in choosing our president as opposed to others, meaning that a person in a state with a lower population shouldn't have a more representative voice than someone in a large state population. It's absolutely absurd. It's against the fundamentals of democracy. The stakes are simply far higher when it comes to choosing the president of the United States than when they are naming Best Picture. Also, the Oscars, I don't know exactly what they do now, but for a while they had ranked choice voting, which I think is an actually more evolved, more interesting way to vote. The Electoral College is winner take all in each state. Terrible system.
It's not winner take all in each state.
In 48 out of the 50 states. Great point, Healy. You really nailed me. Nebraska and Maine aren't winner take all. But in general, the idea that the person who doesn't get the most votes, at least in the Oscars, if you get the most votes for Best Picture, you win Best Picture.
I think you're right about this whole thing, but we need to make the micros longer.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like we were just
we barely got started.
I gotta tell you, I really stumbled out of the gate there.
I thought so too.
I was tripping over my words.
For sure, because you didn't even say anything, but like then you started going, and then I was like, well, where are we at this point?
I actually gotta say, I thought Dave made a very strong argument from a very weak position.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think that. Yeah, okay.
I mean, the Academy is like 94-something% white men. It's like 0.5% Asian, Native American combined. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous, terrible voting system. It's just a bunch of rich old white guys giving each other trophies.
Well, minorities are underrepresented in the general election as well. And I mean, by the way, not to the same degree, but...
Is it a bad voting system to achieve the results that they're trying to achieve?
True, yeah.
Really what's happening is that somehow these guys that are part of the Academy of Motion Arts, Picture Arts and Sciences have developed this product called the Oscars, yeah, and they're peddling it to all us, and we're all bought into it.
Yes.
We're into the old white guy's trophy
game. Can you argue? But hey, we're all bought into...
Right. We bought into this shit.
Hang on. Have we not bought into the Electoral College?
Well, we're born into the Electoral College.
The idiot that won it is sitting in the White House.
If you ask polls about whether the Electoral College should be abolished in favor of a general election, you'd see that I don't have them on hand, but they have run those polls. And I don't know if it's a majority or not, but it's certainly, I would infer, more than the number of people who would say we need to, you know, reform the voting for the best picture of the Oscars.
I have a feeling for both of those polls, the answer would be, what? What are you talking about?
I don't think in this climate. I think people are ready to get rid of the Electoral College, actually.
It's a separate debate. I think there's something to the Electoral College. I'm not sure I want to get rid of it.
What is there to the Electoral College?
I like the idea that the states have to get together and vote on the president.
Why
not just a
at
pure...
the very least then it in, why isn't it an actual proportion of the population as opposed to the number of representatives from each state giving lower population states
because the founders and their genius trying to balance various qualities came up with this system.
The founders and their genius, you know that the founders
yes I can We're sitting here in peace and harmony.
We are also sitting here not counting slaves as 3/5 of a person.
Okay, they got rid of that. I'm sick of hearing about that because the 3/5 of a person, yeah, it's a terrible mistake that was corrected. The Constitution allowed this own way to correct itself. That's not part of the Constitution
anymore.
Corrected.
And you're of this idea that founders were infallible. So we haven't corrected it by now. That whatever they said was genius.
They did a pretty good job. We're not here to talk about the founders.
Seems like such a
I think it's cool
mistake.
That we're this deep in the founders during Oscar Week.
Yeah, what are we? Is this Oscar Week or founders?
Week. Follow the exciting line of debate.
Follow the river of the debate. You know?
It was also just President's
Don't
Day.
Don't try and force the debate to where you want it to be.
It was just President's Day.
Just grab a raft and jump into the debate. See where the waters take you.
The river of the debate.
Yeah. Medina, you took a big breath there.
Medina, La La Land.
Okay. I was going to say, surely this is the best picture of the year. This was rewind 3 or 4 days. Was going to say this is the best picture of the year. It's clearly, it's fun. I think it's a musical.
Dance, Hollywood.
Exciting. LA, everybody
Two
loves LA.
Big movie Hollywood. Stars.
Yeah, big movie stars. I keep hearing it's not that great.
Oh, so you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Dave, seen La La Land?
I saw about 2/3 of it, meant to finish it. Heard the ending is great.
Okay.
This has to be the least informed
Okay, so
round
of the three
table.
Of us, we have 1 2/3 total viewings of La La Land.
Have you seen La La Land?
Yeah, I watched La La Land on the couch with my mom, because I got a screener, by the way. Mm-hmm. I feel like we take for granted that because we work in the television industry, sometimes we get free DVDs of movies so we can vote on them for the Writers Guild Awards.
I like to think that I don't take it for granted. It's one of my greatest joys, and it still blows my mind that they show up
in my
mailbox.
So I got to at Christmas time, I can take home these movies.
It's amazing.
And then I'm sitting there with mom and dad, and it's Christmas in Massachusetts, and we popped in La La Land. Mm. Me, mom, dad, everybody loved it.
You guys had a great
time.
That's great.
Look, is the movie soft? Is it having a lick of sugar? Yes.
Love
it's not challenging you. It's not challenging the political status quo. Nah. It's white people having fun and dancing in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Did my mom wipe a tear from her eye? Yeah. Did I? Yeah.
Yes.
I enjoyed the film.
Yes.
I thought it was cool.
How often do you wipe a tear from your eye in a film?
I'm a soft touch at the movies.
Yeah, same. I really go quickly.
You do?
Yeah. Waterworks. When I watch...
Really? That's actually surprising.
When I watch... one of my favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life.
Wow.
I try to watch it every holiday season.
Okay.
It crushes me every time at the end because they've built up this. It's Wilder, right? Is it Capra or Wilder?
Capra.
Capra builds up this these dominoes and then knocks them all down in the last like 3 minutes of the movie, and I cry every time.
Not to give any spoilers on La La Land, they try to do something similar. I don't think they achieve it quite as effectively, but they do a pretty good job of like hitting you in the heart.
Yeah, setting things up and then giving it to you.
Now, that said, I'm not sure it was the best movie of the year.
I'll tell you what drives me a little crazy about La La Land.
Please!
And this is not the fault of really anyone involved in the movie, but we've talked about this a little bit, Healy, but the narrative that has developed around La La Land, which is like every other day there's a different article or, I don't know, think piece, I don't know if that's what they're called now, but about how like it took this guy 8 years or 6 years to get La La Land made. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know that you've complained about
all of these studios passed on La La. It's like, well, the guy's a 31-year-old director, right?
Yeah.
It's not often that studios are handed over the keys to a $20 million movie or whatever this cost to a 25-year-old. Most movies take years to develop. We looked up how long the development period for the past and studios that passed on past Oscar winners. Most of them have a relatively like long history where it's like, Focus was going to do it, and then they passed, and then Lionsgate stayed. Like it takes years to make a movie. This is not an unusual thing.
I agree with you 100%. Yes. I think this has hit you. Really, I haven't been noticing this narrative as much as you have. I think that one guy, the producer or whatever, the Golden Globes, said like, no one could believe that we could make a musical.
You know what it actually might be? That I feel like what's possible is that when I'm on Twitter, people are tweeting the same two links like 30 times over and over again.
True.
So in my mind, everyone's writing about this, but in fact, there's only like two articles.
Well, as movie making, La La Land had to be about as easy a path to getting a movie made ever, right?
Yeah.
Guy goes to Harvard, writes a movie, it becomes Whiplash. Next movie, everybody wants to be in it, they make it.
Yeah.
He's nominated for the Oscar.
Yeah, there's also, for every La La Land, there's thousands of movies that don't get made.
Yeah.
That's the more interesting stuff.
Who cares?
Who
cares? I'm not interested.
Any of this?
Arrival.
Okay. Definitely didn't see it.
Didn't see it. Sean Levy. Okay.
Sean Levy?
Yeah.
He directed
one of the producers.
Okay.
But he was one of the producers on Stranger Things too, right? And maybe
A producer on a million things.
On a million things. So he's pretty good. I'm gonna put this in the top half.
Okay.
But not at the top.
Okay. See it though.
No.
Dave, did you see
it? What's it about?
No idea. I didn't see
it. I saw Arrival. Arrival is about Amy Adams is a linguist, and she encountered, and some aliens have arrived on Earth, and they're communicating in their weird alien language. They call upon Amy Adams to translate their language. She does, and in doing so achieves a level of communication that opens up some tragic, sad, bittersweet experiences to her that I don't want to spoil, but it's they're trying to get to similar ground as It's a Wonderful Life.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was very good.
Is she really good?
She's pretty good.
Okay. That tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, great movie. Glad they made it. For me, not the best movie of the year.
What are we doing? Are we just going through?
We're going to go through all the movies, debate if we have to. Listeners were requesting Medina's vibe takes.
That's what I need to know.
Which we did last year.
This is great.
So we're going to start with that and use it as
debate in there.
That's
so what
all
else?
We need. That's great.
Hell or High Water.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be in the top three for sure.
Okay. All right. Some guys robbing banks out there.
Right. You didn't see it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Didn't see it.
Yeah.
Almost saw it. Thought about seeing it.
I'm going to say B+. Didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see it?
No.
Oh, this is one I actually saw.
Oh.
I think this is the only one I saw the whole movie of.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That was pretty good.
B+? Was I right?
It's around a B+.
I believe that a person who listens and is aware and is around people who watch a lot of movies can get a very accurate read.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You talk to three people, you read one blurb,
you pick up on how good the movie is.
That's right. Yeah, I think so, basically.
Okay, next up, Hacksaw Ridge. Mel Gibson.
I didn't come close to seeing Hacksaw Ridge.
Okay, Medina, I'm guessing you didn't see Hacksaw Ridge. Give us your vibe take.
I'm going to put this down in the bottom half, but I see Bill Mechanic's name in there. I know he's produced a lot of good stuff over the years. He's never won an Oscar, so they're going to be talking about that.
Looking at the name of the producers.
Yeah, that seems just to play not,
a, I'm looking large. At a list online and all right. the producers.
It's like some guy who maybe got a phone call. Do you want to make Mel Gibson war movie? Yeah, okay, $7 million, whatever. I saw Hacksaw Ridge.
And?
The first hour and a half of the movie is totally stupid and a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
The next hour is a, like, arms and legs getting blown off war movie that's, you know, whatever. We've seen it before. That's my take.
So the first hour and a half was a waste of time, and yes. the next hour was we've seen it before.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least compelling if you like seeing grenades and guys getting blown up and the trauma of war, which... You know, it's something.
It's never, to me, a huge endorsement of a film when the review begins. The first hour and a half almost doesn't matter what comes after that.
It's dumb. We're in Tennessee learning about this guy. It doesn't hold together. Vince Vaughn's his drill instructor, whatever.
Okay.
Heroic guy, by the way. Hmm. The real life guy.
Oh, he's a conscientious objector. Is that the story?
Yeah, he wouldn't shoot. He was a Jehovah's Witness or something, and he wouldn't shoot a gun. Somehow they didn't figure that out until he got to boot camp, and then they made him a medic, and he saved all these guys at Okinawa.
Mm-hmm. That's
the tale of the film.
Does that move the needle for you at all, Medina?
Mm.
Your vibe needle?
No.
Andrew Garfield plays the guy, and his hair is not. It's too pretty. Too pretty.
That's a bummer.
Mm. He's supposed to be like a hillbilly guy.
Interesting.
I think they screwed up.
Right.
Manchester by the Sea.
Mm.
Give me the vibe review.
Here's the thing.
Yep.
There's something to it.
Yeah, it's so accurate.
There's something to it, but I've got a crowded top half right now. I might need to bump Arrival.
Okay. All right.
I can't decide if Manchester should be 5 or 6.
Right.
But I've got Arrival,
right? And again, you haven't seen it, and this is purely on vibe.
To be clear, you're just going by vibe. You haven't seen it. Medina, so or, Dave.
I'm going to put it 6 for now. We'll see if that changes.
At the end of the debate, we're going to get Medina's vibe rankings. Dave, did you see Manchester by the Sea?
Embarrassingly. Still sitting at the top of my gotta watch it list.
Wow.
Huge Lonergan fan. Okay. It's going to be a treat for all me when I watch it.
I mean, I love him. He's great.
I mean,
I was just talking about You Can Count on Me the other night.
I mean,
God, what a great movie that is. Okay, maybe I'm pushing this up. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay, so I'm the only one who saw.
My thing is, like, no. Okay, what was the last one, the really long one?
Margaret's Cat is named
one of your favorite movies, I'm sure. It's a tour de force. No one liked that movie out there in the real world.
No.
So that kind of...
Oh, that hurts the vibe.
Yeah, that hurts the vibe.
Look, I saw Manchester by the Sea. There are some powerful sequences that really stuck with me.
Okay.
There are a couple of things that bugged me. One is that, like, Dave, you're from Massachusetts. Yeah. Manchester by the Sea, it's played as this, like, blue-collar fisherman town. They got a fishing boat. It's, like, a pretty nice suburb of Boston.
You know, I haven't spent much time by the sea,
all.
Is there not a part of the community that's more
like... Of course there is. Yeah. I just felt like they were trying to... I think there's often in... maybe I'm ultra sensitive to it, but Boston-y cinema that's trying to make Boston seem way grittier than it is, and I'm getting a little sick of it.
Well,
I think it's dishonest.
It's also possible that your Boston experience was a little tonier than
very
most.
Very true. But do you think Harvard graduate Matt Damon and Kenneth
Harvard
Lonergan,
graduate Chris Moore, right?
Playwright Kenneth Lonergan didn't have a similar experience? I think they're going the other way because they're trying to cover their fancy tracks.
Overcorrecting.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, that's not really relevant to the film, which I thought was quite powerful.
Is it possible that they were seduced by the name Manchester by the Sea when it should have been just called, like, Gloucester?
Gloucester, yeah. If the movie were called Gloucester, I'm in.
How many...
So stupid.
It is?
How many Academy voters vote in exactly the way that I might... Vote.
A lot. It's hard to see this many movies.
Especially if you're like
a stupid number of movies to nominate, guys.
Right.
It just shows like what the product that they're selling is now. There's nothing to it anymore.
Well, as many people or some listeners may or may not know, like a lot of Oscar voters are in old people's homes, right? There's even a Motion Picture Academy specific old home or several, I believe, right? Oh, can you back that up?
And yeah.
Part of your tool, if you're competing for an Oscar, you will go around, you know, they'll take Michelle Williams and she'll go to these places and show the movie and shake everybody's hands. Mm. And that's like, it's a lot like being a politician and going to the senior home. Those people are going to get hauled out to vote, and you go and you shake their hand and you talk to them about Social Security and Medicare and whatever, right? I think it's like quite similar to the political process.
Crazy.
All right, we got Fences. Did not see it.
No one here saw it.
Fences is Denzel and Viola Davis in an August Wilson play. Right. Speaking of taking a long time to... By the way,
I know.
He wrote this play in like 1985.
He not only did he write it, the play, a long time ago, he wrote the screenplay years ago. He's nominated posthumously.
And La La Land is like, we couldn't make a musical. That's no one believed in it.
Fucking point, Ely. Right.
What the
August
fuck?
August Wilson died since he wrote fuck this that. Play and this movie.
Yeah.
God damn
that's
it.
That's outrageous. But you think it's harder to make a goosey, happy musical than Hollywood? The two beautiful
exactly.
kids?
Exactly. Also, you know, I believe the estate of August Wilson or August Wilson himself was like, this movie needs to be directed by an African-American director. And I think they had a great deal of difficulty finding someone who, like, the studios would approve to... That story of making that's Fences ridiculous. Is way more interesting and important than the story of making fucking La La Land, which I have only seen two-thirds of and enjoyed a fair amount.
I'm bumping Fences up.
No, Fences I had originally written down as number four, but only because I put Hell or High Water in there because we talked about it before.
Right.
It might even be number three for me.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right.
So yeah, Hidden Figures is the next one, right?
Yeah. That's next down. Up is Hidden Figures.
That's in my number six spot.
What vibe? Did anybody see the movie?
No.
Okay.
It's about math.
It's about some African-American women who worked for NASA who were not allowed to use the regular bathroom.
Okay.
And were oppressed in other ways and not appreciated for their contributions.
Right.
It's Octavia Spencer. Kevin Costner, I think, is in it.
Did you didn't see it?
Ooh,
haven't
if
seen
Costner's
it
in it, it's bottom half.
I'm told it's like really kind of fun and great.
Okay. This is the worst Oscar report where it's all secondhand.
This is the best.
Okay. It's funny. And
someone
good.
I feel like told me that it was like trying to play a little too much comedy, like a little too lighthearted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody described a scene to me where Octavia Spencer has to go to the bathroom in another building.
Yeah. We both right? were talking to the same
okay,
person.
Yeah, and
I'm
she's
sure.
got a pile of, for some reason, she's taking her math papers with her to the toilet. Which, I mean, she's going to sit on the can and do her math?
I don't know.
But also, they play like sort of like doo-wop music.
Right. We don't know for sure.
We
because
don't know.
This was all
we
hearsay.
Do not know. But that seems outrageous.
Yeah.
No. And I'm told also that that is not accurate. That the thing about going to another building with the bathroom. Anyway.
Hidden Figures, to me, sounds like a movie where there's like a great log line there. Yep. And the script was sitting around like, okay, great. But maybe the execution didn't quite come off at the Oscar level.
Again, we don't know.
You know what my vibe of the movie is?
Yeah.
That could be way off on this.
Yeah.
I actually think it is the kind of movie that was not... It's not an Oscar movie, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It has the trappings of an Oscar movie.
Yeah.
But it actually, I think... From what, again, only from what I've heard and read, I think it was like actually sort of produced and edited, and the tone of it is more maybe family friendly and actually like not too arty and adventurous. And I respect that a movie like that, again, not having seen it,
right.
was able to crack the Oscar.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The sort of like...
I love where you're coming from on
because
that.
We all know what an Oscar movie is,
ugh,
right?
The worst.
Let me throw something
sometimes
else at you.
The worst. Mm-hmm.
Hidden Figures, which is a movie about some black female mathematicians, made $127 million.
That's
awesome. That's like an underdog story right there, and I think that's very cool.
Well
that's
done, fantastic. Guys. I'm still putting in number six.
Okay, that brings us to Moonlight.
Okay, what did you hear about Moonlight?
Well, I'm putting Moonlight at number one.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Is that weird?
No.
Did you see Moonlight?
I haven't seen Moonlight.
What? No. David, you didn't see Moonlight?
Keeley, you can't. You know that's my number one thing, man. You can't get mad at anyone for not seeing movies. It drives me
fair
fucking
point,
nuts.
Fair point. Fair point. I'm just surprised that you haven't seen
Moonlight. I'm surprised too, to be honest. I'm sure it's amazing.
But are we all in agreement that this is at the top?
Unseen, absolutely number one movie of the year. Keeley didn't like it as
I'm
much.
I'm the only person who saw Moonlight here.
Yes, that's right.
I love Moonlight. Is fantastic.
Okay.
It shows you stuff you've never seen before. Mm. It goes to emotional territory that's as far I can't think of it being explored in mm-hmm. certainly not a big Hollywood movie. It's an interesting world. It's black people in Miami. It's a journey through time. It left me hanging a little bit. Mm. I wanted it to be slightly more melodramatic.
Wow.
Actually, cool. I thought it was like
interesting.
It's a little like it's almost too subtle for me.
Wow.
But
I got to tell you, I'm less interested in what you thought of the movie when you watched it than
I
what
know,
you've
it's
heard
not as
about
interesting.
The movie.
It is not as interesting.
What have you heard and what's the vibe you get?
Now, when I've suggested that I've like very tentatively dipped my toe in the water, being like, there's Moonlight left me wanting a little bit. Uh-huh. And the blowback is insane.
Whoa, okay, that's
people
good.
Saw Moonlight and they were like, don't even step to Moonlight. This is an amazing accomplishment, which I don't agree with.
But Dino, what about its vibe has given you number one spot?
Just exactly. I have a feeling that if I ever told anyone that I saw Moonlight and didn't like it, they would give me some blowback.
Yeah.
I've heard so few things. I just feel it out there with Moonlight.
Yeah.
Let me pause for a sec before we get to the last movie mm-hmm. and tell you a little something, which is at the first ever Academy Awards.
Yeah, let's take our time here for a second.
They had Outstanding Picture.
Okay.
Uh-huh. They also had unique and artistic picture.
Yeah. God, can we bring that back?
I mean, wouldn't that change the whole game?
Yeah.
Interesting.
La La Land could take Outstanding and Moonlight gets unique and artistic.
Fantastic.
I don't know.
It's a win-win.
Is that what we do?
Yeah.
Certainly Moonlight was the most unique and artistic of these movies, I think, by far.
Would Michael Bay win more Oscars if we did the two categories? Or did like him, I guess.
What were the movies that won the first Oscars?
The first ever Oscar.
Was it Michael
the
Bay?
The Outstanding Picture went to Wings, yep. which was a movie about World War II, World War I fighter planes.
It was a spinoff of the movie Cheers.
I learned about unique and artistic because I was looking up this movie called Sunrise, A Song of Two Humans, which is this weird kind of trippy, a guy, he gets lured away from his wife, and then he's going to leave his wife for somebody else.
Okay.
He gets lured back, the day that he spends with his wife is so wonderful that he doesn't murder her,
okay.
and it all works out great. That's Sunrise, A Story of Two Humans.
And
that one unique and artistic picture.
Unique, it's not most unique, because that would be
unique and artistic picture.
Sort of incorrect. Interesting. Okay.
They also used to split up director between comedy and drama.
Yeah.
But not the other
stuff. Whole idea of best director and best editing is so infuriating to me.
Oh, yeah.
That from watching a movie, you can tell how good the directing the editing is so absurd.
I mean,
the idea of these awards is ridiculous, and we shouldn't even be talking about it to begin with. But the idea that you... To know how good the editing is, you'd have to watch all of the raw footage.
I'm going to argue that the best editing every year should be a movie that's a B or below, right? Because that was a movie that was a total turd.
It was
so bad.
And somebody stitched together something pretty decent.
That's interesting.
In a way, the Best Director Award is kind of the unique and creative award.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Best Picture is Outstanding Film or whatever.
I guess you're right.
Which, I mean, it shouldn't be if you're going to call it Best Director. Yeah, you'd have to be there and know like the shit they had to go through, and then like to get the scene, and this person's overreacting, and that person's acting terribly, and like we'd have to blow up everybody's spot about how like shitty they are at their jobs and how good of a boss this dude was.
That's
or
right.
lady.
That's right. People think that like this sounds lame, but like I think the creative side of the movie is way overemphasized when it comes to voting for Best Director. Large part of a director's job is to like make sure that shit doesn't go over budget. And that's not, no one's ever going to say like, Ang Lee, Life of Pi, great job, I'll tell you why. $6 million under budget. That, you know, like no one's going to, but that's part of
why you hire a director.
I'm not saying it's necessarily good or bad, but
somewhere in Hollywood there's an Academy guy who's an old producer who when he only votes for Best Director, but it came in under budget.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that brings us to our final film.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have no idea what it is.
Lion.
It's number nine for me.
All vibes. All vibe.
What my vibe is high on
my vibe
Lion.
Is low on Lion.
I've got huge Lion vibes. Never heard of it.
I got huge Lion vibe too, and I think it might sneak in there and walk away with Best Picture.
You're kidding me.
I'm serious. Yeah.
I have literally never heard of it.
Okay, did you see it?
I didn't see it. Right? I'm going totally on vibe.
Good.
Thank goodness.
Thank
it would be
God.
Way more
now
boring.
You can tell us something about it.
Have you heard people talk about it?
Yeah, I've heard. You know what? It's about a little kid in India, and he gets on the train, and he gets separated from his family. He's adopted by an Australian family who finds him screaming on the train. They take him back to Australia, I believe, and they raise him up, and years later, he goes back to see if he can find the village where he came from.
I bet that's good. It's a Weinstein thing. I'm so bored of them.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to get reamed for that? I don't know.
Not by me.
I mean, don't tell Malia Obama.
I mean, I don't know. I just have a feeling Lion's going to be the underdog little engine that could. The Moonlight, La La Land, people are going to split it up.
Are you allowed to influence my vibe in this conversation?
No, it's time for the final Medina vibe-only ranking.
Here we go.
Yep.
Number nine, Lion.
Wow. Quite the rebuke.
Number eight, Hacksaw Ridge.
Uh-huh.
Number seven, I'm missing one. Number seven is Fences. No, I'm sorry. Number seven is Hidden Figures.
Okay.
Number six is Arrival. Number five, Manchester by the Sea.
Okay.
Number four, Hell or High Water.
Okay.
Number three, Fences.
Wow.
Number two, La La Land. Number one, Moonlight.
Wow. Vibe rankings from Dan Medina.
Great vibes, man.
I mean, the thing is, we'll never know. Other than number one, what happened?
Isn't that frustrating?
It is.
Why don't they release the rankings?
They should. Vibe rankings?
No. The actual voting.
Oh, that would be so great.
Because
it would
also,
be amazing. Yeah. It would be great for all. It would be good marketing.
Yeah.
It's another thing that... It would be, actually.
I think.
You know, you could also eliminate movies throughout the telecast. Ooh. You could say, in ninth place, Arrival. Sorry, Arrival. And they come up and get...
Such a bummer for the Arrival team.
The other way to do it is you could just... Sorry, Medina, but you could just... announced throughout the night the third, second, and first place winner. So the people who are in fourth through ninth place,
they think they've got a shot to win at the end. Yes, that's exciting.
That's very good.
Yeah.
We should produce the Oscars.
Well,
we're not that far away from doing
we're
that.
We're not? We're in my
dining
room.
I feel like the vibe
room.
Thing really taps into what's going on with people out there in the viewership.
I don't think it's as relevant to the movies as actually watching the movies and digesting them.
But who out wrong. There that's watching the Oscars? Give me a percentage of Oscar viewers who've seen all nine movies.
Oh, it's very low. It's less than 1%,
single digit.
Right?
Percentage?
Yeah.
Who've seen four out of the nine movies?
I'm going to step in here. I think most of the Academy viewers saw all nine of these movies.
I'm talking about the viewers.
Few. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're trying to appeal to them.
Yeah.
And,
we're
and like the vibe rankings, I think, kind of gets at what everybody's going through out there.
Well, maybe we need just
we had such a busy political
show.
Season. No one's had time to watch movies,
so
a frivolous activity.
The dam is breaking. Everything's
the dam is breaking. I grew up near there, you know.
I know, man. It's scary.
It's wild.
Whew.
Wow. I've had a great time.
I enjoyed myself tremendously, I hope it's contagious to the listeners.
Yeah.
Hey, write to us, tweet at us.
Yeah, we're Great Debate 69 everywhere. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your Oscar rankings.
Vibe reads. Yeah. Don't write in and be like, I saw this movie.
Give a shit.
Say, I'm in here in this vibe.
That's interesting. That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
That's what this season is about.
Yes, it's a season of vibes.
I encourage you all to email us. We love getting guys, we get some great emails and we love hearing from you. But here's the cool thing about if you join Twitter, if you follow us on Twitter, if you tweet at us, other people get to see the conversation.
Mm.
It's fun. It's exciting.
Mm. A thread might break out.
A thread. We could get a thread going about the Oscars and vibes. All right, dudes. We'll see you next week. The Great Debates. They're gonna put me in the movie. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make The Great Debates is produced by Mark Carosello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King. And the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina. Well, I bet you.